Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got a full four-hour show this afternoon, and it's about darn time. I'd like to thank A Beautiful Afternoon for greeting us with a little A's baseball. It's come and gone. A Beautiful Afternoon for Giants fans down at AT&T Park right now. It is a great day for a little afternoon baseball, if you don't mind me saying, an even better day for a full four-hour sports talk show that will come to you live in its entirety. No pre-tape nonsense. We are with you to 7 o'clock tonight, and we have an awful lot to talk about. I mean, a ton to get into. We've been suffering through a couple abbreviated programs over the first couple days where there's obviously just been so much to talk about. Today, we will talk about Colin Kaepernick, the football player, not the social movement, because Colin Kaepernick, the football player, has his own personal Super Bowl coming up tomorrow night. I have never, and I don't think you have ever, seen a player that has this high of a profile have as much riding on a fourth preseason game ever. Like, I can't remember any scenario where someone who was one of the bells of the ball, and Colin Kaepernick was one of the bells of the ball just a couple of balls ago, have so much to prove and have so much riding on one performance. So we've got Coco Crisp to say goodbye to. He is heading to Cleveland, obviously. I know that we still have some people who are calling into Chris's show who couldn't get in, who want to talk about Coco Crisp and say goodbye and the memories. And, yeah, I mean, it. You know, my biggest problem with the Oakland A's is that they flip players so quickly that if you dare try to foster a relationship with one of them, you'll only be made a fool. Coco's been here a really, really long time. He was the longest tenured A, and for a team that goes through turnover and player turnover almost by the month, you know, it's tough to run a business like that when your business is baseball. But A's fans, this is one of those player moves on that's actually the right thing to do. This isn't a, we don't want to pay Josh Donaldson. This isn't a, we had no idea what we had in Cespedes. This is a, you know, oh, well, Brandon Moss is good enough. Well, let's make sure we move him too, like now that there's interest for him. This is a 36-year-old diminished skills outfielder who they sent to a team that might get him into the postseason one last time. Like, that's how it's supposed to wrap up. I don't think A's fan base, you've got a lot of reasons to have hard feelings about some of the player transactions you've sat through over the last few years. This is not a hard feelings transaction for Coco.
Right.
It was time. It's good. How are you? Good?
I'm good.
Are you ready? You ready for a big show today?
I am.
You excited?
I am. I'm kind of excited for Coco. At least the Indians are sitting pretty.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a shot postseason.
Look, at the end of your,
not a bad thing.
At the end of your career, what do you really want? You want one last pull at the brass ring. That was not coming in Oakland.
No.
And he wasn't going to get paid right in Oakland. And this is now maybe something that'll, you know, make him feel good about the way this thing wraps up. Coco Crisp, by the way, is one of the worst leadoff hitters in all of baseball. He's got the worst leadoff average, but what's ridiculous is he has, like, the best batting average with runners in scoring position. It is ridiculous. Some of his stats are ridiculous. But we will take a look back a little bit later on and say goodbye, au revoir, a Coco.
Wow.
We're going to talk about that Tom Brady life before it's all said and done. And I have a story that I don't even have to poke around in here, Gianna. This is going to be your favorite story of the afternoon. That Tom Brady life you can buy in right now is 3,300 square foot, three bedroom, three and a half bath, Flatiron District penthouse. Just hit the market for a cool 17 and a hook.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Just $17.5 million to pick up a nice little bungalow. in the fanciest, hoity-toityest, coolest, up-and-coming poppinest district in all of New York City. It's not through Tom's doing and success that these houses come and go in his life, though. Giselle is the sugar mama we all wish we had. We will talk about exactly how much sugar she puts into the sugar jar a little bit later on. We've got some really good guests today. Raiders play tomorrow. 49ers, obviously, are going to have all eyes on them for, well, topical reasons, dumpster fire reasons, the drama of Kaepernick and the situation he's put himself now in, military reaction, so on and so forth. There's going to be all eyes on that. I hope there's nothing to talk about and no reason to pay attention at all to the Oakland Raiders tomorrow. No news is good news in that fourth preseason game. I don't want to see a single important player hit the field. We don't need any Teddy Bridgewaters here for the Oakland Raiders. No one of a lick of consequence should be on the field tomorrow for the Oakland Raiders beyond one drive, one series. That should be it for everybody who's got a big role to play this year. So the Raiders, Gianna, can get shut out 75-0 tomorrow. They can take a 75-0 loss against the Seahawks. As long as everyone's healthy at the end of the game, I will declare it a smashing success and bring on week one for a team that hasn't been bogged down in, shall we say, global distractions created by quarterbacks.
Right.
The Oakland Raiders look like a boring insurance agent compared to the 49ers, who are essentially like a stripper dangling off a pole trying to make a buck. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Raiders are the model of a professional outfit right now, and the 49ers remain as the laughingstock of all of football, but now almost like sympathetic laughs, like, oh, you have so much to deal with, and you're clearly incapable of dealing with much. The interesting articles of Mike Freeman today talking about how the league is already blackballing Kaepernick before he even is available to the rest of the league. He talked to a whole bunch of other GMs and front office types, and let's just say they are none too enamored with the idea of adding Colin Kaepernick to their rosters. So we're going to talk about how you and me and the rest of us, we can talk about how things would play out in an ideal, perfect society. And then we can talk about reality. And the reality is there is only one rule in football that trumps all other rules. Anything that isn't football is a complete waste of time. And that is now how football men who build football teams see Colin Kaepernick. They see him as a waste of time. Can he change everybody's mind with a performance tomorrow in San Diego? We're going to talk about that. We're not going to be talking about hashtags. Because hashtags don't change the world. You know what a hashtag does, Gianna? Officially, nothing.
It bogs down my timeline.
A hashtag has solved no troubles, no problems, has taken oppressed people and unoppressed them. There's never been a hashtag that has gotten between a cop and someone else in a decision. But yes, if you're really into hashtags, what a victory this has been. Oh, by the way, what were we talking about? Colin wanted to talk about military. No. He wanted to talk about veterans' rights. No, he wanted to talk about he wanted to talk about the national anthem. No, he wanted to talk about nationalism. No, he wanted to talk about patriotism. Meanwhile, P.S., police brutality and oppression. I told you, he was putting his topic in the sidecar as he rode the motorcycle. Called me a lot of names, Twitter, for saying he's off target. There's not a single person talking about Black Lives Matter or police brutality. Not a single conversation is happening about that topic anywhere. Anywhere. Colin Kaepernick, per usual, has taken his message just like a pass and he sprayed it all over the field. I don't know if he accurately hit his target. Let's see. He's got a full year now. We're giving him a full year to show us what he does. Still waiting. Because right now it's just a hashtag. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's fantastic to have you. We got an awful lot of balls to juggle over the next 4 hours, and we're going to try and keep them all in the air at the same time. A lot is going on, but for those of you, and I've already have people texting and tweeting saying,
you're not going to talk more about Colin Kaepernick today, are you?
I don't understand it. I don't. Yes, I will be talking more about Colin Kaepernick today. Were you the person who, like, by September 13th was, like, going, enough of this September 11th coverage? You know, I mean, I'm not comparing the two, but this is the single biggest story that the sports world has right now. Yes, it will continue to appear on this program because it's ridiculous to not cover the biggest story in sports. Nobody ever says to a news agency, you know what you're covering too much of? This presidential election.
That does not happen.
It's the number one story out there. Of course they're all over it. And here's, look, if you are the type of person who listens to every minute of this program, whether it be from 3 to 4:15 or from 3 to 5, which it'll be tomorrow ahead of Raiders football, or a full 4-hour show that we have today, if you are one of those listeners, let me from the bottom of my heart say thank you. But just be prepared to hear some stuff over and over again, because here's how radio works. Most people listen for 9 to 15 minutes, tops.
Right.
So we do have to, every now and then, go over old ground.
Yeah, revisit.
Reset segments and topics and cater to an audience that comes and goes like the wind.
It's the biggest story in sports and beyond.
Right.
It's not even just this. It's a sports headline that has captivated the nation.
Right.
So it deserves a little time.
But what we will do today is talk about how big of a game this is for Colin Kaepernick and how he, through his play and now his actions, has turned this into his own personal Super Bowl. Look, if Colin Kaepernick plays great, if he looks amazing, he will not be the Niners starting week one quarterback. But what he might do is take the Blaine Gabbert leash and make it shorter than anyone expected. If Kaepernick can reach into whatever he's got left and remind us of what he once had at the best of Colin, then all of a sudden, his position on this team is not only secure, it's officially interesting. Because I don't think Blaine Gabbert is the kind of guy who's just going to play such drop-dead awesome football that your backup quarterback will never even be considered unless he gets hurt. Let's say he plays well. Let's say he's good. Well, then he's on the team. Quarterback depth for this team is a major issue when every single guy is healthy and available. The second somebody gets hurt, this quarterback situation is going to go straight to DEFCON 1. That's why you want to keep Colin Kaepernick around if he plays great or if he plays well. Let's say he plays poorly, though. Let's say he looks like he did last week, completely uncomfortable, feet flying everywhere, herky-jerky, non-natural, I've been here before look to him. If he plays deer in headlights scattered, now you got a problem, Colin. Now you got a real problem. You need to demonstrate that you can be a leader on third down, not on Twitter. There's no hashtag that is going to change the way the NFL evaluates your play. Your hashtag might have changed a lot of people who are writing think pieces and bloggers and tweeters and things like that. And I got to tell you, an awful lot of that veterans for Colin or veterans for Kaepernick, I looked at some of it last night. Very emotional, compelling arguments. Remember, though, 12% of America is on Twitter. And as always, the people feeling the most unjust or the most the people who feel that their message isn't being heard are always the loudest. Just because he was trending globally doesn't mean that the vast majority of veterans are still very offended by the notion of anybody not standing for the national anthem. And again, now we're talking about veterans and national anthem. Nothing to do with what he wanted to bring up, which was at the center of my criticism of his decision. Did he have the right to do it? He sure did. Did he do it well? Well, as people just blindly applaud him, let's talk about what's real here. I don't think he did a good job. As a matter of fact, I think he flunked it. If all he was looking to do was get the internet buzzing, congratulations. You got the internet buzzing. The internet buzzing doesn't help anyone. Yeah. It doesn't. If he plays poorly, if he can't lead on third down, he is very likely cut. His platform will vanish, and he may not get another chance with another team. As we were saying, here's the rule of football that everybody in this conversation has forgotten, because you tried to talk about other things in football, and thank you for being societal and high-minded, and I'm very, very proud of all of you. But this is a sports story before it's anything else. This is a sports story, and here's how football works. Anything that isn't football is bad for the football team. Anything that isn't football is bad for the football team. And Colin Kaepernick has now defined himself as so anything but football that he must have, he better have a damn good football game tomorrow and turn the, and get this conversation back to football. Lastly, let's end with this. I am sure that I am living in the freest and dumbest country in the world. And stupid people will take whatever his on-field success or failures are tomorrow night and draw it all the way out to the point that he was trying to make. There will be mouth breathers, Gianna, that will try to transfer his success or failure onto the point that he was trying to make. We're surrounded by morons.
We are.
Not everybody should be allowed to put their voice into the conversation. Oh, you free speech oppressor. No, there used to be gatekeepers for information we all consumed. Now, anybody, regardless of experience, spell checking, fact checking, anything, can put their voice out there, and you're going to have some idiot, if Colin Kaepernick goes out and throws three pick sixes on his first three passes, they will then equate that to, well, you know, whatever he was trying to say didn't matter anyways. Get out of here. I mean, people are that stupid.
We'll see that for sure. Let's hope that doesn't – I mean, he's got an opportunity to make a – it's a big day for him tomorrow.
Let's say he throws for 250 yards and four touchdowns. The people will be like, ah, he was right.
Right. I think you're – yeah.
He's the man. He's the new Messiah. I'm telling you, people are so easily led to an extreme conclusion. I mean, is Lemmings. People I lead you all off the cliff with a hashtag.
We have Donald Trump running for office.
Donald Trump is running for office. You're point all point morons.
Point right? Made.
Thank you. Oh, this is a big game. And I gotta give Colin credit. There's not a lot of guys that have ever positioned themselves as, I play one bad game, and not only am I probably cut from this team, but I'm probably out of the sport. Way to go.
It's got to be
rough,
though.
That's where we are.
And how do you focus on that? I mean, right. To me, I'd be completely distracted with everything that's happened in the last few days. Being my head on the field.
Totally honest. Where do you think Colin spent most of his time? In his playbook or on Twitter? Patting himself on the back.
I would say Twitter. That would be my guess. He didn't pay much attention to his playbook prior to this. So that's already been said. So
a real leader would have never done this to his teammates. I know you're saying, but he's a leader he's a thought leader now. A real leader would not have done this to his teammates. A real leader would not have put his team, his franchise, in this position. And I heard this on Colin Cowherd's show, and I'll tell you, I wish I had come up with this. Who is the most political athlete of our lifetime? It's Muhammad Ali. Did he ever mess around with one of his fights? Was there anything going on but the knockouts in his fights? Did he ever stage a political protest of any kind in or around any fight he ever had? The answer is an overwhelming no. He separated his activism from his business. And when we come back, we will activate the phones. Our first guest today is going to be Scott Baer. We're going to talk a lot of Raiders with him at 4 o'clock. Warrior forward James Michael McAdoo at 4:30. We're going to have Alex Pavlovich and John Morosi a little bit later on. But your calls coming up, 888-957-9570. Kaepernick, the game. Let's talk about that next year on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We got an awful lot to get to. Mike Freeman's very interesting article today on Bleacher Report about how other GMs are already turning their back on the idea of adding Colin Kaepernick. And let's face it, there are different rules for different people. And if you are a highly impactful superstar athlete that is just got winning dripping all off of him, then you're going to be given the widest berth available. You will be giving a huge four-lane highway to take your act down. If you are not that talented guy, if you're not as talented as you used to be, if you've gone from starter to backup to third string, you don't have a wide highway to zigzag down anymore. You have a very narrow, rocky path, and you better negotiate that carefully. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a lot of people on hold. Thank you very much for calling and your patience. Let's get to you in order. This is John in San Bruno. Thanks, John. How are you?
Good afternoon, Damon. I just want to say, you know, Colin Kaepernick just doesn't get it. I know it's for a noble cause and reason, but he's the wrong guy to do this, man. And if I were him, I would just take full advantage of the opportunity that's given to me. You know, you've got a new system now with a coach who runs a system that fits your skills. Why aren't you trying to be a quarterback, man? I mean, dude, you got credibility issues, and you're not, and now you're trying to be somebody you're not.
Right. I never heard Colin Kaepernick string three words together that we could say were provocative, insightful. There was absolutely no substance to anything he said or stood for until the night he became Malcolm X.
Yeah.
So, like, there's just, like, I think that there, like, you know what bothered me? When Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner, everybody the very next day was, like, forced to just be like, oh, well, yeah, it's, you know, like, of course everything's just normal and that's the way it should be. Like, you got to give people time to, I guess,
like adjust.
To acclimate to this whole brand new you that we didn't even know was in you.
Makes sense.
I thank you very much for the call. We got Raider D in Oakland. What's up, Raider D?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? How you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you.
All right, hey, Dame, I want to start off with this. First, last week, one of the first questions I got at the Raider game tailgate was, what do you think of Damon Bruce? I've been meaning to make this call and tell you, you know, I listened to you when you first came on and you said, sit down and listen, marinate. Don't call in, wait. Because a lot of things you're not going to agree with. And I got to say this, after a while, I love you. I love the intro.
Thank you.
You know, I love the show. I don't agree with everything.
You're not supposed to.
And especially on this topic. No, exactly. That's what it is. Damon is being Damon. Damon is telling things, you know, as he see it. You know, being truthful and honest, and it's not no, you know, playing, just don't bring nothing goofy to the show. You'll be all right. My thing is this. There's bigger issues here underlying, and part of it is, like, we're talking about the NFL. The NFL is a league that has to have a rule to interview black men, you know, coaches, to be coaches.
Yes.
You know, the owner's meeting. Let's see. What is the owner's meeting made up of?
It's the whitest room in America.
Right. It's a good old boys club. If you had, what do you think would happen if you had a black man in that room that came from this environment that had the kind of feelings and attached? Then you'd hear it more. Major networks, radio stations are mostly owned. You don't have, you know, black owned or predominantly black owned. Where, hey, you can speak on the topics that mean something to us. This topic is being talked about in barbershops, in the inner city, and everything else. We understand it's a delicate balancing act for him now. He does have to worry about playing football, his football career, but also the man has a conscience. and he has to live with himself. So when somebody takes a mic and stick it over in his face in this game and asks him, and he responds and he be truthful and tell you, even though you don't agree with it, even though you don't like it, it seems like we want to kill him for it. Nobody will come out and say, what he is saying is truthful. These killings are wrong. Some of these are wrong. He's not saying all police are bad. He's not saying the military is bad, even though they don't get treated like whatever. He's saying that some of the things that he sees going on in our society, we are not living up to it. When our veterans come home, they should have the same medical our politicians do. They shouldn't have to be worrying about going to a VA or parking up under a freeway and sleeping.
Right. They should send a limo. They should send a limo to bring veterans to a VA hospital. Seriously. Raider D, yeah. I thank you for listening. I'm so happy to have you in my audience. I really, really am. I hated you at first, but now I like you is how so many of my relationships with my audience have begun. And thank you so much for listening. And I got to tell you, man, you just said more in your phone call than we've probably talked about race and what Colin was trying to say than any other caller that I've talked to. You stayed on message. I wish Colin had been able to stay on message, but the diving board he leapt off of. Okay, so let's talk about this in a pool scenario.
Okay.
Colin wanted to make a big splash on his topic, but he came off of a diving board that is such an also hot topic that everybody, instead of hearing the big splash, is still hearing the ding, 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 after you come off the diving board, like the
yep.
diving board's still bouncing
that
after you've gone. Everybody can't, no one's looking at the pool. Everyone's looking at the diving board. And that is an example that I would use to say, even though there are no, this might have been born out of nobility, I'm telling you, this might be the wrong messenger. The right message, the wrong messenger, and a platform that was asking for this to just spin out of control into something else. And a more well-thought-through tact might have served him and Black Lives Matter and police brutality and oppressed people a little bit better than this, because we're not talking about police, Black Lives Matter, oppressed people. We're talking about the military, the national anthem, how to stay, who died for what is the conversation that is being, who, what did a veteran die for? What did I die? What did my family member die to respect the flag or to have the right to disrespect the flag? You know, it's, and now we're having a social studies class instead of a civics class, you know? Well, I guess social studies and civics are the same thing. But you know what I mean? It's, can we be honest? At the risk of being politically incorrect, can we just be honest? Was there any one of us who didn't, right up until this moment, think Colin Kaepernick was anything other than a huge douche?
It shocked me to hear him in that that conversation with the press and how well he spoke. I really truly believe that he was passionate about this cause and Black Lives Matters and what's happening with our police force and minorities. I think he just pointed the conversation in a completely opposite direction based on the avenue he took to protest. Now, like, all eyes are on Cap now. You have a chance to point it back in the right direction and make a difference.
Don't you remember there was an almost unfair to Colin Kaepernick comparison between Russell Wilson's Instagram account and Colin Kaepernick's? Colin Kaepernick's Instagram account was like me on a beach, me with a drink in my hand, me in a tuxedo wearing sunglasses, leaning on a Ferrari outside of a mansion that's not even mine, but I'm right here for a photo shoot to show you how cool I am. And like Russell Wilson was like with military, visiting children's hospitals, all sorts of things.
It's hard to take him seriously when that's what we were used to.
Right.
So good on him for right. wanting to be more proactive.
Right. You weren't anything more than a backup dancer in a J-Lo video in terms of social presence until you became overnight. By the way,
Ness's boyfriend.
And by the way, Yoko Ono's boyfriend. She is the Yoko Ono of the 49ers.
Yes, she
absolutely is. I do want to say this, though. It's a shame that we cannot sit around and just blindly celebrate how totally awesome Colin's hair is right now. He has, look, I'm going to just screw political correctness. There are two things that every white guy looks at a black guy and goes, I wish I had that.
Yeah, he's got good hair.
The hair is one thing.
It's on point.
And the other one's probably somewhere else. But I mean, like that, if I could grow an afro, again, I'm an honorary Jew. I would have a huge honorary Jew fro if I could. My hair would, I would look like a human lollipop. I would look like a sucker. I would have such a beautiful, I would look like a microphone. It would look like Oscar Gamble took a nap on my head. It would just, I would have the greatest afro if I could. I think it is the single coolest hairstyle in the history of hair, regardless of race, creed, color, continent, anything. I wish I could have an afro. Colin Kaepernick, your afro is awesome. Your hair is awesome.
His style's on point. That was never in question for sure. He looks good.
I love the afro. I do.
Sorry, Damon. It's just not going to happen for you.
It's not going to happen for me. It's not. We're not all meant to have that. I will be back with more of your calls right after this. 888-957-9570.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's great to have you here. Danny just popped in and said, I've got 3 pairs of Raider tickets to give away, but then didn't tell me to, like, what game.
That was my question. Like, what game?
That was the worst produced giveaway I've ever been a part of.
Let me text him.
I'll tell you what. We'll figure it out. Could you send a Raven over to that side of the building and find out exactly when we have tickets and what we want to give away and when we're going to do it and all that stuff?
For House of Bruce.
That'd be great.
Raven for House of Bruce.
Raven for House Bruce, please. Andrew in San Francisco. Thanks for the call, Andrew. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
It's what we do here.
All right. First of all, I can't believe you said Muhammad Ali never mixed up his fights with his politics.
I don't remember a single protest he ever staged in a ring. I don't remember him sitting down for the national anthem before any of his fights when he was dealing with America, trying to pull his ability to make a living. I don't remember any of that.
I think the fact that he called Frazier on Uncle Tom repeatedly was a very political and intentional act.
It certainly was, but I don't think it was rooted in making a political point as much as he was just trying to demean Joe Frazier.
Well, and at the same time, he sacrificed the height of his career for political reasons.
Yes, he did. He did. And, you know, I think it's a lot easier to do that when you were on Team Nothing. You know, he's an individual athlete. It's a lot easier for a tennis player, a boxer, a golfer to take a stand because no one else's career is riding on the ramifications of that.
That's a different point, but I do think he mixed his politics with his sports.
He did. Well, here's the politics wouldn't have come into focus but for his sports, right? No one would have cared what Muhammad Ali thought about anything had he not been the heavyweight champ of the world. What will we care about Colin Kaepernick having to say next if he's not an NFL quarterback? I think it'll be an interesting thing to see if it happens that way. I really hope that if he is out of the NFL or in the NFL, he is an active leader for change. I hope he becomes a massive arm of fundraising for the NAACP, Black Lives Matter, all sorts of bridging gaps between police forces and community fundraisers. I mean, that's what I hope for him. Let's see what happens.
It's interesting that you mentioned his hair because I think he's wearing it very intentionally that way. I happen to be a guy who writes stories for magazines, and I have twice profiled Colin Kaepernick.
Have you ever interviewed him, though? Have you ever had the chance to interview him, or did you just profile him?
I interviewed him twice.
Oh, okay.
The first was a cover story for GQ, and the second was an apparel website where he talked about his fashion. And in between 2012 and 2015, those two profiles, he very self-consciously began to increasingly think of himself as a black man and as somebody who symbolized blackness and wanted to be a role model. And he said, I've begun to choose my clothes. I've begun to wear my hair. I've begun to think about the things I say in terms of being a role model to young black boys.
I tell you, though, the only thing about him that seemed to have a like slant to it, it was the way he dressed. And the fact that he never took his headphones off. I mean, for a guy that had a social awakening, we didn't know a lick about it until Friday night last week.
There's a, I think, a an odd thing that goes on with Kaepernick. The person and the speaker that you see in a press conference situation is very different from the Colin Kaepernick you see one-on-one. I don't know why that is, but he is, I believe, a very bright and thoughtful guy and very intentional about the way he goes about thinking of race. And I think it pains him because his background is so unusual. You know, he was adopted and then raised by white Wisconsin cheese farmers.
Right.
And is self-conscious of the fact that some people question his blackness.
Right. And then he went to, and then his family moved to Turlock, and then he went to Reno,
right.
And he's probably looking to, re-up with a community he feels that he wasn't enough of a part of. And I think that all of his I think it's all genuine intent. I just think that for a guy who wanted to start a conversation about something specifically, that is now the caboose on the train of what we're really talking about. And his point might have been better served with a sit-down think piece for GQ or calling Bob Lee at ESPN and saying, I would like an outside the lines. They would have jumped at that chance. But then the hashtag wouldn't have happened, and people think that hashtag is now social change. I got so many callers. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jose in San Francisco. Jose.
Hey, Damon. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, so I don't know about his motives. I got to question his motives a little bit. I do think that the timing is absolutely deliberate because, let's be real, is he going to get another chance to do something like this again in his career? He's on the outs with his team. He's on the outs in the locker room. The last time the national media cared about Colin Kaepernick is when he went 0-for-4 at the goal line against Baltimore. And so he's got a last chance to sort of put his name back out there and become part of the national story, and I think he did so deliberately. And so while I question his motives, and the last caller brought up some good points, you know, I think he's got a lot of stuff in his background that would make these causes very real to him. Again, he has not put himself out there for any kind of reason like this prior to this. And so, regardless of his motives, he did catalyze the conversation. He was successful in that. Whether or not he was trying to do that as opposed to build up his own brand and image, that remains to be seen. But at least we're talking about it, and that's a good thing.
Jose, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Mark in San Jose. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Damon. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. Well, you know, I agree with the caller two ago and you, I think, that his motives, I think, are pure. But what we're seeing, what we're watching right now, it's like it's tragic. It's like we're watching maybe the last act of a Greek tragedy here because, you know, as somebody in the public eye, they talk about the third rail, say things that you're not supposed to step on because you get electrocuted. So one of them is the flag and the other is the police. And he's managed to touch both of them. And so people are just, you know, up in arms. And to your point earlier, it's what's tragic about it is, one, it's sure not going to do him any good, clearly. Because as you said, he's not in the place in his career that he has a lot of room to do that. So it's tragic for him. But I think the worst part is that it's also tragic for the cause. The last caller just said, hey, we're talking about it. No, I don't think we are talking about it. Because, and this is where the real tragedy is, he's trying, theoretically, to get attention to the cause of how people are treated by at least some parts of the police in some parts of the country. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick.
Right, and
the flag in his career. We're missing the real point.
He painted the police with such a broad brush. It's the intellectual equivalent of some racist watching his local news, seeing that a black man committed a crime and saying to his wife, you know, I told you, honey, they're all no good.
Well, that's right. And the challenge is that we can't talk about it much because most right-thinking people, I think, see that, well, we support the police. We know they put out their lives for us, right? We support them. But there are not just bad apples, but there are some places, I think it's clear in the country, that people are not treated equally, and something has to be done about that. That's what he wants. What we should be talking about it, and we're talking about whether you should stand up for the national anthem, or you know whether he's going to get traded because of it, or whatever.
Right.
That's not what we should be talking about.
Right.
And that's
no one's pivoting to let's see what the police do next, or let's see how black men in America start getting treated. It's everyone saying, "Hey, man, it's really military night in San Diego. Let's see what happens. Let's see how loud he gets booed." It's just a weird, weird thing. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. DJ, what's up, DJ? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's going on?
Oh, no, but thanks for giving me that high five. You always talk about the TL. You give me a high five one time because I live down in the
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Okay. This is a couple of weeks ago, right? The number one story in the paper was this guy from the Olympics, the white guy, right? Okay, who, you know, Ryan, the dude from Stanford.
Yeah, Ryan Lochte, you mean.
Right.
I don't think he went to Stanford.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's no chance he could even get into a Stanford football game.
Oh, okay, but I'm saying, okay, that was more disgraceful and despicable than anything. That was in front of the world, okay? Okay, this man just sat down for the national anthem.
Look,
he's saying nothing about this guy, right?
Oh, don't say we said nothing about him. Hold on. You can't say we didn't say anything about him. He became fodder for every late-night TV talk show host, and he was so dismissed as a universal moron that no one wanted to pay attention to him.
He's ready to be on Dancing with the Stars, okay? Right? Okay, now you know, he's ready to be some kind of celebrity or something like that. So he's not getting hurt that much economically.
He had every single major sponsor pulled. I guarantee you that the only reason why they brought him on Dancing with the Stars is to be the guaranteed first idiot voted off of Dancing with the Stars. When you see America's backlash, it will come in his when they vote for his samba and he gets a negative zero. We got to run. Thank you so much for the call. We're at the end of the first of four full hours today. If you're on hold, stay there. When we come on back, we do have our friend Scott Baer talking some Raider football. Because you know what? Offensively, looks really good. Defensively, nobody has tackled yet. Is the tackling going to come? Wait and you see how much better this defense is when it decides to start tackling ball carriers. We're going to talk about that with Scott Baer. We do have Raiders tickets to give away. Raiders versus Chargers.
Chargers.
What week is that? I mean, would it be possible for my producers to actually hand me the information needed to do this damn promo? That would be fantastic. We got 3 hours to get it right.
October 9th.
There it is.
Chargers at Raiders.
Here at the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.